purpose is the reason for existence.
People fail through lack of purpose than lack of talents. Purpose is the source of individual fulfillment. Without it, life is meaningless. Purpose becoming permanent. You were configured to carry out an assignment. Without purpose, there is nothing to live for. Purpose is the resolute of the mind to carry out a particular assignment. Until purpose is discovered, existence has fallen. Myers, a professor, you will leave your purpose.
1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye are of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body, which is God, because you are bought with a price. In this second service, we are looking at the danger of immorality. No sin kills like immorality. It is a sin unto death. Whether you are a fornicator, an adulterer, a phono watcher, a lesbian, homosexual, masturbation is a sin unto death. It commits death sentence over your life. The reason is because God goes all out to destroy the man or the woman that lives in immorality. The Bible said your body is the temple of God. If you destroy it with sin of immorality, the Bible says, him will God destroy. I have seen many respected men in society who lost everything in life because of 3 minutes sex with a woman that is not their wife. I've seen men who have control in everything in their life except in the area of sex. You see these men excel in business, but when it comes to sex, they are like idiots. No sense, no direction. And they ruin their possibilities and cripple their glorious future. Immorality, sir, does a lot of harm to your prayer life as a believer. Not just that it hand over death sentence over your life, but it entirely kills your prayer life. Immorality discredits you from being a genuine Christian. Fornication, adultery, pornography, lesbianism are all sin. And the Bible said in the book of John chapter 9 verse 31 that now we know that God does not hear sinners. John 9 and verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Anyone that lives in sin, God does not hear your prayers. Your prayer is an abomination to God. We pray a lot in Pentecostal churches, but our prayers are not answered because of iniquity. Isaiah 59 verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shutting that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities. I have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. That is why no prayer said on you that is working. You are in church and you have become a prayer project and a problem to pastor. Because the more pastor pray, the farther away your promise. Sir, it is the prayer of the righteous that God answers. James 5:16 said, confess your sin one to another and pray for one another, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amplify, say, it maketh tremendous power available. Where there is righteousness, prayer avails. God does not hear the prayer of sinners. Who is a sinner? A sinner is one that practices sin. You do sin like practice. You practice it like fish inside water. 1 John 3 and verse number 6. Thank you. He said, whosoever abided in him, who lives and remain in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately, knowingly, habitually commits sin or practices sin. No one that claims to abide with him knowingly, habitually commit or practice sin. No one who habitually sin has either seen or known him or recognized or perceived or understood him or has any experiential acquaintance with him. You leave church, you go to drinking joint. You leave church, you go to the bed of sin. You leave church, you continue your iniquity. It doesn't bother you. You can dance in church and still live in sin. You don't know God. You don't know God. You don't know God. You don't know God. You are a sinner, and God does not answer the prayer of a sinner. Verse 7. No one born begotten of God deliberately, unknowingly, or habitually practices sin. For God's nature abided in him, his principle of life, the divine spermatozoa, remain permanently within him. He cannot practice sinning because he is born of God. He has the sperm of God, which is righteousness. He can't be living in sin. There are many of you that a day can't pass without sin. Every day, Father, I've did it again. I did it in the morning. I did it in the evening. I've did it in the evening. I did. You need deliverance. You don't know God. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. Take his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violating divine law from the beginning. This reason the Son of God was manifested visibly was to undo, destroy, loosen, dissolve the works of the devil. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, which is sin in your life. Then verse 9 went on to tell us, he said, no one begot born of God deliberately, knowingly, habitually practices sin. For God's nature abided in him, his principles. For this is made clear, who take their nature from God and are his children. Are what? His children. This is a clear thing. Whoever takes his nature from God, that man is a child of God. Who takes their nature from the devil are his children. No one who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God's will in purpose, in thought, and in action, is of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believer in Christ. What is saying in clear terms is, anyone who practices sin, you take your nature from the devil. It is clear. It is not difficult to know that you are not. Most of you coming to church doesn't mean you are born again. It doesn't mean you are born again. You still practice the same sin. No wonder you can't sing the song we used to sing those days. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. Pray for you. The things I used to do, I still do them again. The things I used to do, come in church, but I still do them again. The things I used to do, I used to lie before. I am lying even now. I follow people's husband before. I am still following them even in church. I'm still eyeing them and collecting phone number. Hellfire is your portion. Hey! Christianity of separation. Where is the Christianity of difference? Today you can't differentiate who is truly born again and who is not. We carry camouflage, but the glory has departed. Don't be deceived in this matter, sir. We know those who are born again. Those who are born again have the nature of God, the sperm of God. They cannot practice sin. You sleep with boyfriend when you are not born again. Now you are born again. You still sleep with your boyfriend. What is the difference? He's not following you to church because he can't see any light in you. Galatians chapter 5 told us the works of the flesh, verse 19, are displayed. The works of the flesh are clearly stated. The works of the flesh are clearly stated. Galatians 5:19. Now the doing, the practice of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency. Even in dressing and in the way you talk. Evil, envy, drunkenness, chorus singing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Any moral man cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now you claim you are born again. What was the things you left? What was the things you left? The question is, why did Jesus came? John Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 gave us clearly. Jesus came to save his people from their sin. So if God have not saved you from your sin, it means that you are not yet a Christian. Matthew 21. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Greek from the form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. For he will save his people from their sin. So the coming of Jesus is purposely to save you from sin. Anything short of that, the purpose of coming of Jesus is useless. So you can't be sinning and be claiming that Jesus has saved you. If he saved you, his coming is to do what? Save you from sin. So the question is, are you saved from sin? Are you delivered from the power of sin? Sometimes I wonder. Now we replace God being with us with miracles. That you are healing the church. That your eye open in the church. That you are a pastor and you walk miracles and prophesy does not mean that you are righteous. Satan does miracle. There are people that God gave you a car, doesn't mean you are righteous. There are unbelievers that don't know God, they are driving cars. That you got husband and gave a testimony doesn't make you righteous. Unbelievers get husband without prayers. Everything we do, Satan can copy. There's only one thing Satan can never do. Satan can never be holy. Holiness is the key. That if you don't have it, you don't have it. And if you are a fornicator here, an adulterer, hellfire is your portion. There's no miss word about it. You will split hell wide open. You may say, Pastor, I don't commit adultery, I don't fornicate. But Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 27, he that looketh at a woman lustfully. You see somebody you wish to be your husband, you wish to be your wife. The Bible says you have committed immorality. Please don't play with the sin of immorality. It destroys destiny. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23 to 29. It said, for the commandment is a lamp, and the whole teaching of the law is light, and the reproof of discipline are the way of what? Of life. Continue, sir. To keep you from the evil woman. Why we teach you in the word of God is to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering of the tongue of a loose woman. Continue. Lust not after her. Lust not after her beauty in her heart. Neither let her capture you with her eyelids. There are extra eyelids today people are putting that is very deadly. Do not. And people put some contacts that look like cats and dogs and mosquitoes and cobras. Continue. For an account of a harlot, a man is brought to a piece of bread. You sleep with a harlot, you become a piece of bread. And the adulterous stick and snails are with a hook. The precious life of a man is crushed in the bed of immorality. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? Can you carry fire and your clothes cannot be burnt? Or can you walk upon hot coals and your feet is not burnt? He said, whosoever cohabit with his neighbor's wife will be tortured with evil consequences. And just retribution. He who touches her shall not be innocent and will not go unpunished. Sleep with somebody's wife, you will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief, he steals to satisfy himself. Even if he's hungry, they command him to pay. If he is found, he will restore. You will not be spared on the day of your judgment. Your immorality is so bad that now you are pursuing people's wife. Your immorality is so bad that now you are pursuing people's husband. You are timing them. You have such an unsearchable test for immorality that single people no longer satisfy you. You are looking for married men and breaking homes left, right, and center. You will not escape premature death. If this message is not for you, it will go on television. It will go on internet. It will go on satellite. Somebody must be brought to book. Verse 32 and verse 33. Verse 32 of that scripture. It said, but whosoever committed adultery with a woman lacks heart and understanding, moral principle and prudence. He who does it is destroying his own life. You are destroying your own life. Wounds and disgrace he will get. His reproach will never be wiped out. You can't escape the judgment of immorality. You can't escape it. You can't escape it. That is what God is saying to us today. You, no matter who you are, be careful. Proverbs 7 and verse 6 says, say, for at the window of my house I looked out through my lintels. That is the window. And among the simple, empty-headed, empty-hearted ones. You are so empty-headed, empty-hearted. Once I perceive among the youth a young man void of good sense. He lacks sense. Strolling through the street near the loose woman's corner, and he went to the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, dark, black, and dense, falling over the young man's life. In the evening, the night, he's perambulating around dark corners, and behold, there met a woman dressed as a harlot, silly and corny of heart. Can't sleep with a harlot and be normal. She is turbulent and willful. Her feet stay not in her house. She's looking for who to ruin. An innocent man without sense. You call it breakthrough, it's breakdown. It's the gate of hell. Now in the streets, in the marketplace, she set her ambushment at every corner. She's there. She caught him and kissed him with impotent face. She said to him, "Hey, may you not dress at the expense of your salvation." Amen. May you not make simple ones walk. How can you be in church and be wearing short skirts that the young men in church cannot relax? They turn here, attack. They turn here. They start looking at the ceiling from the beginning of the service to the end because you are exposing what other people should not see. You wear clothes, you tear your one side and open one part of the breast. Blood, I can't concentrate.